Okay, let's pray as we begin this session. Our great God, we thank you that you loved us and gave your only begotten Son to die for us. Not only that, you drew us closer to yourself and invited us to partner with you in this noble cause of winning souls for Christ, your Son and our Redeemer. Lord, as I stand again before your saints, I know that I don't deserve. These people are precious before you. You gave your life for them. I need to be careful what I say before them. But give me grace, O Lord, and use me to teach all of us together, not only they, my brothers, but even us, me and my brother who is interpreting together, we want to learn with our brothers from your Holy Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, as we continue the sessions, yeah, this one is entitled The Pastor as a Shepherd. Musumba. And let us read the whole of Psalm 23 together. Psalm 23. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And thus says the Lord, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's also turn to John, a passage that our brother read for us before. John chapter 21. And we'll be reading together from verse 14. Let's get it from verse 15. John 21, from 15. From 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." 16. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The theme of our conference is, take care of my sheep. And it came from this very passage, it is God in the flesh who said those words. My ESV says, tend my sheep. But NIV says, take care of my sheep. Yeah, it's the same. Just tend my sheep, take care of my sheep. They are the same. And we want to look at the pastor as a shepherd. I know some of us have ever preached on Psalm 23. Some have even memorized the whole of it. But I don't know whether really they've tried to go deep analyzing the words in that psalm. So we'll try to see what we can do. Pastor as a shepherd is too wide that I would need at least 3 days to finish it. But I'll try just to bring the major ideas. The next time, the Lord willing, will be coming back to this. There are many images for spiritual leaders in the Bible. But the best known of them all is that of a shepherd. The Bible often speaks of shepherds. Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all these were shepherds. Jesus called himself the good shepherd. He did not call himself the shepherd, but the good shepherd. For a reason. And finally, in the epistles, those who lead the church are also called shepherds. A pastor guides and nourishes the church the way a shepherd guides and feeds his flock. Now, for us to understand this concept well, we need to first go back and exegete the origin of these ideas. Where we make mistakes, is when we interpret scripture vis-a-vis our own cultures. You read something here. Say, oh yes, even in my village we do things like this. You need to first go back to the culture of the Bible. Try to understand how they used to do things. Before you come and try to also examine in your own setting.
okulaba engeri gy'obikwatamu oba engeri ebintu gyebikolebamu
I had a preacher in Africa here, or in Uganda, sorry. Preaching in Uganda, yes. Preaching from Psalm 23. Telling his hearers that, you see, just as you see abalalo, just as you see abalalo,
in the same way you see these
the cattle keepers in Uganda, you will call them balalo.
One in Uganda, that's how we call them.
So they just the way you see them,
the
way they behave with their flock. That's exactly how these people used to behave in Israel. That's a very big problem. If you begin like that immediately, I walk off. I just go. Because our balalo in Uganda,
those cattle keepers in Uganda here,
are behind and their flock before them. It was not like that in Israel, in Palestine. It was the shepherd in front and the sheep follow him. So let's try to go back into Palestine and try to understand how they were doing these things before we come back and try to analyze them in our own
setting.
The Jews of Bible times were first shepherds and then farmers. But even after becoming farmers, they never abandoned entirely their shepherd life. In other words, the people to whom the Bible was directly addressed, wakato keepers. So let's see how they used to take care of their sick and wounded sheep. We need to understand the sheep and the shepherd. You need to know that a sheep is one of the most foolish animals. So you need a lot of expertise to be with them, to look after them well. The shepherd is always on the lookout for members of his flock that need personal attention. I like the word always. You be on your lookout. Sometimes a lamb suffers from the rays of the sun. Or its body may have been badly scratched by the thorn bush. So it needs to know all those. Because the rays of the sun used to disturb the eyes so much. And the most common remedy they used was olive oil. And he had that olive oil wherever he was. He had it. And he always carried it in a ram's horn. And in the Psalm of David, Psalm
23,
David had this in mind. When he said, "You anoint my head with oil." This Psalm 23 was not written by any shepherd. It was written by one of the expert shepherds, David. He says in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." That's the idea that he had. Now, the pastor as the shepherd, you need to have the same ideology or the same mentality. Look after the sheep of God with care. What were the enemies of the sheep? In other words, the shepherd was there to protect the sheep against what?
One,
wild animals. Many of them were in those deserts. Very fierce animals. Like the bear, lion, wolves. They survive on those lambs, on those sheep. That's their food. Day and night they are just looking for them for food. And the task, one of the tasks of the shepherd was to protect all the animals, all of them, against those wild animals. He used to, I'll come to that. Two, just the enemies of Israel, whenever they could attack them, they used to go and destroy and kill all their animals. You can read that in Judges chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. So the shepherd had to make sure when the enemies attack, he needs to keep his flock. To defend them. and make sure none of them is killed. Now try to figure out, enemies have invaded Uganda in Kampala and they are killing everything and everyone. What can you do as a shepherd to make sure none of your sheep dies? It is to just be in the front of them, so that in case any bullet comes, let it kill you first before it kills any of you. Care of sheep in special times of need. The love of the shepherd for his sheep is best seen when times of special need arrive. And immediately he starts applying unusual acts of care. For all the members of the flock. And I want just to give you one, to point you to one which is a bit interesting. Crossing a stream of water. This process is most interesting. Remember that he used to move from place to place with his flock, looking for pastures. And in those movements, they always crossed streams of water. Now, this is how they used to do it. When they come across a stream of water, the shepherd always led the way into the water and cross the stream to the other side. Then he was followed by those bold sheep that always kept hard with the shepherd. When they see the shepherd do it, immediately they plunge boldly into the water and are soon across the stream. But other members of the flock enter the stream with hesitation. Yes, they are not sure of themselves, not being close to their guide, because remember their guide is already on the other side. So their guide is now a bit far away from them. Not trying to do it on their own, they always miss the shallow place. Missed the shallow places.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know some areas that can be deep. Yeah, when you put your foot there, you'll be drowned. But other places are shallow, you can easily cross through. So now, trying to follow their shepherd,
they
always missed those shallow places and found themselves carried down by the river. And they start going at a to a distance. But they will probably be able to make it to the other side. You might be a Mulalo, a cattle keep of Uganda. This is strange to you. Then the third group of the third team of the group, are the lambs. Yeah, the lambs or one. The little lambs may be driven into the waters. Or let me say, as they are running for their lives, they could go into water, running from dogs. And once inside water, they could not really know how to do it, to go about it. Immediately you could hear them start bleating. Zikaba. Yes, to bleat, a bleat is the cry of a sheep or goats. Inside the water, they start bleating. Pitifully. They cry with pity. As they leap and plant, they're trying to try to save themselves to go to the other side. In trying to fight for themselves like that, some manage to get across. But others could be swept away. And those that were swept away, remember the shepherd is already on the other side, okay, looking at them. But they are now being taken by the water. Immediately, the shepherd entered the water into the streams and rescues them. And after rescuing them, he carries them in his bosom to the shore. Amazing. And we sing some of these things in our hymns here. He will take us to the shore. Jesus Christ. When they all arrive over the stream, they're all of them now on the other side. Normally it was the lambs, the young ones that you could see start gambling. Okay, to gamble about it is just to jump here and there. Playing. And you see all of them around their shepherd, as if to express their thankfulness to him. Our divine shepherd has a word of encouragement for all. Yeah, for all his sheep who must pass through streams of affliction.
Endigaze eziteekeddwa okuyita mu kunyigirizibwa okweriweziyitamu.
Check that tense there, must, not may.
Ziteekeddwa.
Must.
Okay. Ziteekeddwa okuba nga ziyita mu kunyigirizibwa.
Through the streams of affliction. And he says this in Isaiah 43:2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Those are the words of the great shepherd.
Ebyo bye bigambo eby'omusumba omukulu.
No. When you pass through waters. I've given you an illustration of how this thing used to happen. So now let us see how they used to find stray sheep. It's important that sheep should not be allowed to stray away from the flock. Because when by themselves they are utterly helpless, but the sheep are helpless animals. Foolish animals. Even chicken are wiser than they. Go and get a chicken from the village. Bring it to Kampala. It takes it only 2 days. 2 nights in your house. That's all. You let it go, it will be going to look for food there, and there in the evening you sit calm. It does not enter anywhere. Sheep are not like that. Even after entering here a million times, just try to say, they've entered here many times, let me leave them alone. You'll see them entering the other building there. And that's exactly how church members behave. Hence, the importance of a good shepherd. That shows the importance of a good shepherd. Leave them alone, they are totally helpless. In such a condition, they fall prey to those wild animals. They cannot recognize their home. Alone. And if they do stray away, they must be brought back immediately. And the psalmist prayed this prayer in Psalm 119. And verse, 176. Verse 176. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, O Lord. Your servant. Remember, even as we are shepherds here, but both we and those we shepherd are the sheep of God. In other words, the foolishness of the sheep, we normally see it even in pastors. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's Isaiah
53:6.
All of us like sheep have gone astray. And that's what you've been discussing, even when I left you guys, about women being pastors. That's going astray, really. That's going astray. And David sang of his divine shepherd. Saying, he restores my soul. He does that always. When he sees you going astray. Let's look at how they used to feed their flock. Now, two major roles of any shepherd in Palestine had to play. Taking good care of the sheep and feeding the sheep. These were major, two major. But number one was the feeding of the sheep. One of the principal duties of all seasons of the year in other words, they had many duties.
Okay.
Throughout the year. One of the most principal duties of those duties is for the shepherd to plan food for his flock. During springtime, we don't have spring in Africa. I don't know how you can interpret that in Luganda. Springtime is rainy season, okay. There is an abundance of green pastures. And usually the sheep are allowed to graze near the village where the shepherd used to stay. Yeah, so they enjoy that greener pasture around the village of their shepherd. After the grain is reaped, yes. You know, the people of Israel used to behave like this. If the garden is mine, I go and reap and harvest. I don't need to take everything. I need to leave leftovers to the poor. So after I've taken my crop, then the poor people will enter the garden and have an opportunity to glean what is left for them. After the poor people are finished also, then the shepherd used to bring their flock. And the sheep could feed on certain fresh growth
Kakati endiga neziwanga nazo ziliyako kwebyo ebyaleraga mu.
Yeah, that what the poor people had left.
Abavu bebale kangamu.
So I'm trying to show you how the strategies that the shepherds used to put together to make sure their sheep don't lack food. When this course of food is exhausted, then the shepherd is sought asked to look for other places. I'm trying to rush so that we come back and apply this truth. Gathering scattered sheep. The shepherd knows that. Knows how to gather sheep that have been scattered. Especially, this is necessary when the sheep must be led back to the flock. And this is accomplished by the shepherd standing in the center of the scattered sheep. Okay, listen. The sheep had to the sheep needed to be together. Even as they are feeding, they need to be in one group. Not one here, another one there, That would not be easy for the shepherd to fight for them when enemies come. But these are animals. When they are eating, one step after the other. Yeah, slowly. You eat from here, you go and eat from there, you eat from there, and that's how you are going. After some time, you find that they are together but scattered. Two here, one there, five there. Shepherds in Palestine did not like that. Shepherds. Now, what did they used to do to bring them together as one group? They used to go to the center of the scattered sheep. And they gave them a call. Yeah, they are the way they used to call them to come together. He used to get a pebble. Pebble is a small round stone. And he gets a sling. Sling, what's that? We used to, when we were young, we used to kill birds with that. Yes, he put that stone on that sling. Yeah, he throws that stone in the direction of and beyond members of the flock that failed to heed the call. First, he stands in their center. And he makes a call. Many years in Kisoro, I had these calls of you just some sort of a call.
In Kisoro.
Yes, in Kisoro. I was in Kisoro many years ago, and I had really those calls. They have a
I don't know. So, whenever they could hear such a noise, such a call, they came together near him. But those members of the flock that could not, could just remain where they were, he had now to use this sling and throws it beyond in order to get their attention yes, then bring them back to him. All these strategies, friend, Jesus Christ uses all of them to try to bring foolish us back to him. He does not commence to lead them away until he knows they are all there. In other words, if he lives here and he had gone to Natete there, Obusega, to feed them from there, in the evening when he wants to bring them back, he does not begin to lead them away until he knows that all of them are there. And that's where our Lord Jesus Christ said that a good shepherd, if he counts and he finds that 99 are here, but one is missing, he will leave the 99, go and look for that one. Amazing. Let's go to this passage of scripture. Back to John. John 21:15 up to 17. So we read it already. I want just to explain something here. As Elder David told us this morning, these were some of the last words of Jesus Christ to his disciples before he left them. The last words of the great shepherd to his sheep. And the Bible says in verse 15 that they had finished breakfast. Wow, our master also used to enjoy breakfast. Then after that, Jesus Christ turns to Simon. Why Simon alone? He had 12 of them. Why turn to Simon? You can ask yourself, if you are a Muganda, how many Baganda are there? Why you? Are you the only one in your family? You have other brothers. But why you? Yeah, he left the 11 and turned to Simon and asked him a question. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? First, with brothers that we speak one after the other. Do you love me? That's a rhetorical question. He knew the answer. Do you love me more than the rest? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yeah, that this guy that we call the Peter Wachimbelembele. Peter Wachimbelembele. This guy, I love this Peter before the Holy Spirit entered him. Before the Holy Spirit came to dwell in him.
If you have such Peters in your church, then shepherd, you need to pray for more mercy. You know yourself that I love you. Then his master says, feed my lambs. When you are reading your Bible, we always emphasize this. Don't read it as a newspaper. Words are not innocent here. The first one he used, four words. Sorry, there are three. Feed my lambs. This verb to feed. What should be fed? The lambs. What should be fed are the lambs. Lambs are young of. Yes, young of. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, take care of my sheep. He changes, he moves from feeding to taking care. He moves from lambs to sheep. Lambs need to be fed so that they grow. The grown-up sheep, you no longer feed them to grow. They need, you need to continue feeding them, but you need to take good care of them. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, of John, do you love me? And Peter said, ah, this is too much. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he replied angrily, Lord, you know everything. You know everything. Oh, Peter understood that Jesus Christ was omniscient. You know that I love you. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Wow. Feed my lamb at first. Feed my sheep at last. Take care of my sheep. Both lambs and grown-up sheep need to be fed. The grown-up sheep need to be taken care of. Why? Because my young children, I don't fear that they can run away from my home. I don't fear that. But once they clock teenage, you need to be extra careful. When they are 5 years, do you cane whenever you want? Why did you do this? Why? After 30 minutes, they come again. Daddy, you want to buy me something? But when they are teenagers, 17, 18, why have you canned me? They disappear. You need to take good care of them. Why did Jesus ask the question three times? He was emphasizing the importance that he puts upon his sheep, period. In other words, if you don't take good care of my sheep, don't deceive me that you love me. You don't love me. I want to lay down my life for my sheep. You don't love them, and you are deceiving me that you love me. That's how pastors of these days are behaving. In whatever they do, you see that they don't love the sheep at all. Always deceiving God that I love you, God, I love you, Christ. Now, why did Jesus call himself the good shepherd? If there's left, that means there's also right. If there is up, there is also down. If there is good, then that means there is also bad. Jesus did not say, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he gave the reason why he believes he's the good shepherd. Because hirelings are those the shepherds that have been just hired to do that job. When they see wolves come, they take off and leave the sheep alone. But the good shepherd gives his own life for the sheep. Why good shepherd? Where are the bad ones? Do they exist? Let's check Ezekiel 34. And we'll end with that. Ezekiel 34, 1 up to 6. And the Bible says this. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. These are the bad shepherds. And this is the voice of Yahweh himself telling his prophet Ezekiel to prophesy. What are the mistakes of these bad shepherds? Number one, they feed themselves instead of feeding the sheep.
And that's what we see in churches today. I don't know whether in your church you collect seeds. I don't know. But I'd like you to help me understand that, because the whole life is a school. Yeah, we might be ignorant and we also would like also to learn. You always ask them to bring seeds that the more you give, the more you be blessed. If you give 100,000, you will reap 1,000,000. Are you one of the good under shepherds or one of the bad shepherds? I was in a church where they give love offering. Yeah, it's not bad to be a blessing to your brother in Christ. It's not at all. Yeah, that's what we call love offering here in IBC. Outside our worship service. Outside. Yeah, if I want to bless my brother,
I
can even take him to town. I buy him a brand new shoe. We encourage that always among the brethren. Do that always. Always be a blessing to your brethren.
But
when you make it part of the offerings inside worship service, inside church, I wonder where it is in the Bible. Yeah, you can say, yeah, when they used to bring all the things to the apostles' feet, but the apostles used to distribute them to those who had need. But this pastor I saw in Namasuba here, they bring offering and he stands here in front of the
pulpit.
They put the love offering into his hands. When they are full, he puts in the pockets. He's telling his church members, Emma, you have not stood. Will you hate me?
Emmanuel, why you made it there? Church again the mass hour,
inside church. You feed yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? How are you supposed to feed the sheep, Mr. Shepherd? Don't say that. Pastor says that I need to go and buy one of my sheep a brand new shoe. I did not tell you so. The only food that you need to give them is the word of God. And the previous speaker explained that very well here. You yourself, you don't know how to preach. You yourself don't understand scripture. How will you be a good shepherd? That's why Paul told his spiritual son Timothy to do all needed, to do everything needed, to present himself as a minister, will not be ashamed by doing what?
by rightly dividing the word of truth. I think tomorrow, there's another session. I'll go deep into how to feed the sheep tomorrow. God will continue saying, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool. You clothe yourselves with wool. Expensive clothes. Wool. From the money, from the money, from the my sheep. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. Okay, you might say, no, inside you, we feed the sheep every Sunday. How do you do that? When every Sunday you peck salmons the way chicken peck rice.
Kakati, ngabuliwa Sunday.
You don't have any program. You don't have any program. Try to be brief as you interpret. You just let them go funze to saving time. Every Saturday you start on. Last Sunday I talked about giving. What should I preach about tomorrow? Isaac fought with Asuman. Which passage can support that? Which passage? Cain and Abel? I think that one can work well. You are not feeding the sheep. You are among the bad shepherds. The sheep feed well. The sheep. Through the exposition of Scripture. They grow fat. I have experienced it myself. My friend, go through books of the Bible. Begin Matthew, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, up to the end. Don't leave any stone unturned. That will help you not to preach your mind. Because if at the first place you saw, you heard Asumani and Isaac fighting and you bring it on the pulpit, that's your mind, it's not the word of God. Expository preaching has helped us avoid preaching our own minds. Because, you know, there are many passages. This scripture is not easy. Many things are very tough here. When you are pecking sermons the way you peck them every Sunday, you always skip those. This one, I have no idea here. Let me go to the other topic. But if you are going through chapter after chapter after chapter, and then you find some bone somewhere, how do you skip that? Church members always follow you. And that's the beauty of expository sermons. When you stop on verse 10, they know next Sunday passage begins from 11. When next time you begin from 15, These members of RBC will be on your neck after service. But Pastor, what's wrong with verse 11, 12, 13, and 14? So you'll have to wrestle with the word until the Spirit of Christ guides you, gives you at least some idea of what to preach. One of the reasons why we gather in these conferences is that the Lord is making, is setting apart for Himself a people for Him in Uganda. Wolves are many. God wants to have the 7,000 remnants. Will you be part of them? Or you want also to divorce your wife? Are you working at being one of the good under shepherds? Or you also want to make a living out of the church? Yeah, want to make a living. There is scarcity of employment, of jobs all over the world these days. No. They are scarce.
Oh yes.
Don't insult our president. It's not Uganda alone. Everywhere, no jobs. And because of that, many people are cooking how to survive. One of the greener pastures is ministry. If I go and plant a church in that area, I'll be a missionary there, so I'll start getting support. Your plans are already evil. You want to be a good shepherd. That's why we are being very careful with anyone who comes and says, we would like to partner with you. Friends, Christ is looking for true under shepherds to stand for His glory in this
country.
Pastors who do not sleep and dream America.
Those
who can sleep and dream Christ and His glory alone. True shepherds who speak the truth.
Who
will be okay with accountability. People don't want to be accountable. The pastor as a shepherd. The way you are treating the sheep of Christ in your church. Can you really give your life for them? The shepherd used to be in the front. Even during war, to make sure no bullet or anything harms any of his sheep. And Christ did the same. Gave his life for us. Why do we want gain from churches? Work. and God will bless the work of your hands. Serve Him faithfully. I always tell our church members here, always, and I'll continue telling them, following the friends we have now, all over the world. If only I say, let me be one of the bad shepherds, beginning with tomorrow. 3 months, I can raise a storied building like this one. But the attributes of God will not allow me to do that. He sees me. My plans that are mine alone shout before Him. Loudly. The attribute of God of eternity. I am temporal. I'm temporal. Which legacy are you going to leave after you're gone? Obufere? Obufere? Ask yourself, what will people say after you are gone? And the spirit you have, when you have a muzungu, a white, you become like a dog before a born. You look at whites like gods. If only one white man comes to visit you, you don't want any of these to speak with them alone. The only you come and stand near to hear what you're talking about. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord alone. Those are the arms of the flesh. Brother Paul Washer always says this. The more the more you love the arms of the flesh, the less you'll see the power of God.
The less.
My friend Michael came here.
One
fellow pastor came and pulled my ears, but you are stupid. You leave Michael talk to everyone like that. They're going to snatch him from you. They're going to snatch him from you. The more you rely on the arms of the flesh, the less you'll see the power of God. My fellow shepherd, just as Jesus told the Samaritan woman, time is coming and time is now to separate sheep from God. It's now. How is Jesus a good shepherd?
Yes.
What did he do that other leaders did not do? Everything he did, other leaders had done to their people. Everything Jesus did, other leaders had done to their people. except one.
To try to
rush the interpretation. Except one. Giving his life for
them.
Who had ever done that? Check what he says in John here. Check as we end. Help us, Lord. John 13. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you gave your life for us. Forgive us, O Lord, for not being good shepherds as you'd like us to be before your sheep. We are weak, we are corrupt, we are liars, full of iniquity. Forgive us, O Lord. You want us to act as shepherds by taking good care of your sheep, feeding them, healing their sick, those that are sick, and close the wounds of those that are wounded. Help us, O Lord, to learn from you, our great shepherd. Uganda is surrounded by wolves calling themselves pastors. May you raise your own true under-shepherds from these men, O Lord. We'll continue crying to you until we see Christ worshipped and lifted high in this country. We are weak, we know it. We know our weaknesses. Help us, Lord, to be ready even to give our lives for your sheep. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.